Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And good morning. It is raining out there.
It's Western Washington. What do you expect,
yes,
lady?
Yes, I know. I know. And I have something happening later today that I don't know about, except I know when to show up, and I've been told what to wear. And my daughter's told me, show up and don't touch your hair. Don't wash it and don't mess with it. So I apologize now. I'm very thankful we're not on camera.
Sorry, I got a feeling
it's a little crazy.
It's probably going to be a mommy pampering hairdo makeover or some such thing.
But they have, before they have all the people come, and that's all I know.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm turning a milestone birthday. It's not until next week.
21?
Very good, Dr. Mixon.
All right.
Yeah, for about
that. It'll be legal pretty soon.
Yes. Almost.
Okay.
So, so looking forward to that. It's not supposed to rain this afternoon where I will be. So I'm really hanging on to that and hoping
we'll see. Because around here it says 90% chance of rain.
I know. I hope we get that 90 before noon.
And it was 90 when I came in this morning.
Okay.
Anyway, Dr. Umat is not with us today.
No. I thought we would have her.
She came in this morning hacking and coughing and hoarse, and I said, go home, lady. I don't want your bug.
Yes, no, we do not want that.
So, and I got too much to do to get sick, so, send her home.
There you go. Yeah, can't have the doctors getting sick. You've got to tell everybody else how to stay healthy.
You got it.
Right?
And
we're in our new studio, which is a little softer sounding today because the carpet's in.
The carpet is in.
Yes.
The walls are painted, here we've got almost another month to get all the set and the furniture in.
Okay.
It's coming.
It sure is. It looks nice. I see we've got a couple of light fixtures as well.
Yeah, those are just actually left over from the old one.
Oh, okay.
But
familiar.
But all the fancy lights and stuff will be in.
Okay.
I was hoping we'd have all this done by April, and now it's looking like August we'll be doing video streaming, but... Yep, for all of you out there that have been listening to us for years, we're going to actually be going to video streaming
here
about the end of July, early August. And I am putting in whatever it takes to build out this nice, fancy new audio-video studio. So instead of just being radio, we will be radio and video at the same time.
There you go. And
so it should be fun.
Yeah, and you can watch us live every Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. And if you want to share us with your friends, they can, of course, tune in anytime.
Yeah, because we will be on essentially every social media channel from, YouTube and so on. And so anybody who wants to see parts of our show, they can just tune in 24/7 from anywhere on the planet and see our show.
Yes, and if I know that you're going to be doing some topical things too.
Yep.
So it's like if you want to focus on diabetes, talking about joint pain, maybe talking about what to do as we're aging, right?
Yep. That's what it's all about. Yeah. So it should be a fun day. It should be a fun project.
Yes.
We'll see.
All right. That is exciting. And that's where we're broadcasting from today. Every week as we get closer, there's a little bit more to look at for us.
Yep.
And you'll see the finished product later this summer.
That's right.
That sounds good. Let me give that phone number for you to call in. We are live in the studio. Dr. Mixon here today. And if you tried to get through last week and couldn't, then you have this week. Go ahead, get in that call queue. Here is the number to call, 1-800-465-8770. That is 1-800-465-8770. All right, Dr. Mixon, I know you read the medical journals. You're always on top of what is new, what is happening,
yeah,
and what's trying to scare the public into doing something.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. No, you know, all the news this week has really been on how many lies we were told.
Oh boy!
Back during the pandemic.
Okay.
You know, both the CDC and the NIH, and yeah, everybody is now fessing up to the fact that, you know, 6 feet distancing had no science behind it whatsoever.
Nothing. It was just
a thing. It's an arbitrary number. Some bureaucrat came up with, and the whole country ended up having to live by it.
Yes.
You know.
And so afraid of it, too. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, you're 4 feet away.
Well, and we shut the schools for the best part of 2 years for some areas, and we made the kids wear masks. Chances of a child dying from COVID were 0.0003%.
They probably had a better chance of dying from something else.
Somebody did a statistical analysis, said the kid is in more danger crossing the street for the school bus than he was from COVID.
Wow. Ban all school buses.
Or ban streets.
Yeah, and yeah. Streets.
So, I mean, yeah, we are finally starting to come to our senses, although I still see morons, you know, wearing masks in the car by themselves, as though that steering wheel and, you know, is a great danger to them.
Oh, wow. So. Well, you know, they have something new now that people that do wear the masks inside the car can now wear a seatbelt, a car seatbelt outside the car as well.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah.
See, so it will keep
good,
safe,
yes,
even if you're not driving. Good,
even when you're walking.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, when you're walking, you've got your seatbelt on. I thought, oh, man.
Isn't that wonderful?
Good analogy.
Okay.
What have we come to? All right. And what else is going on, Dr. Mixon?
Not a whole lot. I mean, here at Longevity, we got lots going on.
Very much so.
But, you know, I have been told I'm not supposed to talk about them too fast, too soon, because, you know, if they don't come to fruition for 6 months, the staff gets irritated when people are calling wanting something we won't have for 6 months.
Okay.
So.
All right.
So I will try to rein it in.
Rein it in a little bit. Okay.
That's right. So, but we would love to hear from you today.
Oh,
so
yes.
Give us a call. We are going to be here 2 hours on this show and 2 hours on the next show.
Yep. And we welcome your phone calls live, 1-800.
Love to hear from you.
465-8770. Questions about aging. Questions about a particular medicine that you're taking, some symptoms that you're dealing with, and you're like, okay, what do I do? I'm not used to this. We would love to talk to you. Judy, wow, she's already on the line. Let's take the call.
Let's dive in there.
And go ahead and get in that call queue, 800-465-8770. Hi there, Judy, and good morning.
Hello, Judy. How can we help?
Good morning, all you guys. Jeez, happy Father's Day to Dr. Mixon tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
Thank you. I am an experienced daddy, having had 9 children altogether.
Yes. He's a boy.
Well, you know,
yeah, everybody needs a hobby, and mine is obvious. So.
We won't go there.
But he does have a big smile on his face.
Yeah, I know. I bet. Dr. Mixon, I was wondering if you could please give me the pros and cons of taking cortisol support. It's a supplement.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
I can take it offline. I can take it off the, Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
thank you.
You're welcome, ma'am.
Okay.
All right. So she's asking about a particular supplement, cortisol support. And there's a whole series of these, adrenal cortex, adrenal fatigue formulas, ritual stress. Everybody's got some sort of cortisol support. The question is whether they're trying to support your cortisol or whether they're trying to basically keep you from having too much cortisol. because our adrenal glands can go either way. Mm. The biggest problem we've actually got, and what most of the so-called cortisol support supplements are for, are actually trying to reduce cortisol. Cortisol is our stress hormone. It is a hormone we produce in response to physical or emotional stress. Our bodies don't know the difference between coming face-to-face with a saber-toothed tiger or having a boss demand that you do your job better, you know, or a kid who is driving you crazy. Mm. Physical or emotional stressors cause our adrenal glands to kick out cortisol in high doses because cortisol is our anti-stress hormone.
Okay.
It calms you down. It makes you relaxed and mellow. And so it fights stress. And it alters the immune system, dilates blood vessels, helps white blood cells go rushing through your system, so that if that is a physical injury, let's say you were going through the forest and you fell and broke your leg or something, you produce this enormous burst of cortisol to calm you down. Don't panic. Maybe you really are going to die, but your body is saying, calm down.
It's
you're
okay.
Going to be okay.
Let's work through this.
That's right. And the white blood cells come rushing to the area and they help you to fight infections and invaders and so on. So it can be, in short term, can be a very, very good sort of process. The downside is if you have constant stimulation of your stress response. If you live under stress, if you live with anxiety, if you live with people that are driving you crazy or situations, or you're a middle class in 2024 and your rent has gone up 25%, your gas has doubled and your groceries are up 30% and you're trying to figure out how to survive, you get a stress response. Mm-hmm. When cortisol levels stay up long term, bad stuff happens.
Okay.
High cortisol levels over the long term cause you to develop cataracts. They raise your blood sugar. They predispose you to diabetes. They shift your metabolism towards fat production. They make your muscles weak. They thin out your bones. Ooh. They lower your resistance to essentially every infection on earth, including cancers. So we don't want long-term high-stress situations because they are very, very destructive. They raise our risk of heart attacks, strokes, dementia, diabetes, osteoporosis, cancers, all sorts of bad stuff happens with long-term stress. So there's a series of different supplements that are out there being made to help you lower your cortisol, calm you down, make you relax. We have one that we called for many years Stress Guard.
Okay.
We are now selling it under Relief Factor Company as Zen Factor.
Ah, okay.
Z-E-N. And again, it is designed to make you mellow out, relax, get rid of the stress without making you sleepy. And that was the big change in this one. A lot of them make you drowsy.
Yeah, and you don't want that.
You don't want that. So when I designed this, the Zen Factor, it's designed to make you mellow and relax, but not get sleepy. It lets you stay awake and alert with a functioning brain. You just damp down the anxiety.
Okay.
So any of you that want to go buy that and, support Dr. Mixon's financial situation, feel free.
There you go.
Hopefully I'll make a profit on every bottle you buy.
Zen Factor. So what are the active ingredients or the active supplements in this?
It's a passion flower extract.
Mm, okay.
And the passion flower is the calming factor. Okay.
Okay.
But it's also then got a compound in it that is actually a mild brain alert factor. It keeps you awake and alert even though you're relaxed. So the passion flower calms you, and the second ingredients help keep you alert.
Okay.
So it's really kind of nice.
Yeah. Just hearing about it calms me down.
Yeah.
All right. That's a wonderful thing.
Yep. So you can get it, relieffactor.com. under Zen
Factor. Zen Factor. Be looking for that if you're dealing with cortisol. And ladies, if you were in menopause and you're wondering why that tummy is getting thicker, that's because of the
It is indeed.
Cortisol. We don't want that.
No. Well, that's part of it. You know, when you say something that's not scientifically accurate, of course, it always sets off the alarms in my head. There are two kinds of estrogen receptors, alpha and beta receptors.
Okay.
Young women have predominantly alpha receptors, and the alpha estrogen receptors lay down a thin layer of fat under women's skin, and it's why women are softer and rounder and more curvaceous than men are.
Okay.
But as women age and their estrogen levels drop, the alpha receptors start shriveling up, and the beta receptors become active. And the beta receptors are the ones that trigger you to lay down fat in your torso and get big, thick hips and a big belly.
Oh, okay.
And see, we men have mostly beta receptors to start with. And so when men add fat to our bodies, we tend to get a big belly. That's where it goes for you. Beta estrogen receptors for men. And women, once their estrogen levels have dropped enough as they're aging, they become also predominant beta receptors, and so they start getting big bellies too.
Okay, there we go. Learning about cortisol and cortisol supplements. And Judy also wanted to know, quick question, if you can take St. John's wort along with that.
Indeed, yes.
Okay, that is a big yes, Judy. All right, taking your calls today, 1-800-465-8770. What would you like to talk about? Your health, your aging, a recent diagnosis, maybe a test that's coming up you don't quite understand. We'd love to talk with you. Here's the number to call right now. Get in the call queue, 800-465-8770, and we'll be right back.
Living on love.
Living on love.
Yes. If only that's all we needed, right?
Yes. Well,
love is all you need, they say.
They lie a lot.
Yeah. CDC.
Yeah. Money is unimportant unless you don't have enough.
Yeah, then it becomes
and all
important.
Of a sudden it becomes very, very important.
Okay. You know,
yeah. I have at points in my early life not had nearly enough.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, keeping the stock pot on the stove and just throwing whatever we had left over in it.
In the fridge and in the garden?
In the fridge. It all just went in the stock pot.
There we go. Is that what they called stone soup back then? You know,
yeah,
there was a book.
Yeah,
almost.
Almost, yeah. We put in, we'd go and buy bones at the butcher because we couldn't afford the meat.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. Long time ago, different lifetime.
Yes, absolutely. Join the conversation today with Dr. Mixon on Leading Edge Medicine. Here is that number to get through today. We have room for you, 800-465-8770. Okay, well, longevity is all about aging. So
it is.
Let's focus on the complexities.
It's about staying strong and vital and healthy while you age. You know, we can't make people younger. That involves warping space and time. And
we can't turn back the clock.
We've lived how long we've lived. And while subatomic particles may go forward and backward in time, we don't.
Okay.
And so we are going to continue moving down that space-time continuum, and we're going to live until we stop living, which is just all there is to it. But the question is, how do we stay strong and healthy and happy and vital and have a joyous life when we've lived a while? And therein, I think, is the key. And that's really what Longevity Medical Clinic is all about. That's what I started this clinic 27, almost 28 years ago.
Yes.
And, that has been my goal ever since. I tell people, I'm not sure whether I can make you live longer, but I am confident we can make you live better.
Better.
And if we make you stronger and faster, and you've got a better brain and better heart and better lungs and better kidneys and better muscles and better bones and so on, you'll probably live longer. Mm-hmm. And the goal that I have always espoused is you shift the odds in your favor as far as you can, and then you relax and play the game. But our job is to give you a joy-filled life, not make you so miserable with all the stuff you're being demanded that you do that you're praying for an early death, because
No, we don't want that either.
No. So I am less concerned with how much we live while we're here than for how long we live. Okay. Although, obviously, if you're doing well and you're having a lot of fun, we'd like to keep you around as long as possible. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a dual track. But aging is a complex issue. You know, I get a little irritated when I see colleagues who say, just do this or just do that, and you'll live, you know, forever.
Forever.
Change your diet and it'll be forever. Take this supplement, it'll be forever. Take whatever, you know, more exercise, it'll be forever. Lose weight, it'll be forever. No, it's all of the above plus a whole lot of other mm-hmm. stuff, okay? Aging is not just an attitude. It is a harsh, complex biological reality. And you need to work with reality to give yourself the best outcomes. You can't deal with it in your fantasy life. It has to be the real life, and that means we need the real science, not the political science.
No.
The real science. What does the peer-reviewed literature actually say? So one of those tools that we use, and too many people think it's the only tool you need, and I thought maybe that was the case 25 or 30 years ago when I was starting the clinic, but we turned out it's wrong. It's not just your hormone balancing.
Okay.
It's not testosterone for men or estrogen or the lack of estrogen for women. There is a very complex hormonal symphony going on in our bodies when we're young. And that complex interplay of hormones actually provide our bodies with the tools they need to do the job, for our brains to grow, to heal and repair when we have injuries and as cells wear out, to give us strength and energy and endurance, and to make us robustly healthy. As we age, those hormone levels do all decline, not just one or two. Mm. All of them are starting to decline. And as we lose all of the tools that our body need to function well, we function less and less well. We get slower, we get weaker, we get fatter, our brain slows down, we don't think as well, our muscles are not as strong, our bones start to thin out, we become more susceptible to infections and cancers of various sorts. So those hormone levels are important, but it's not just one hormone here or there. What we have to do is measure the entire complex and move all of them back to where they were when you were about 25 years old. Now, I always have to alter that a little bit. With men, I move them back to where they are at 25.
Okay.
I can move women back to 25 too. But if I move a 60-year-old woman back to a 25-year-old hormone level, she will almost certainly start menstruating again.
Oh, yes.
And if I tell the average 65-year-old woman that in order to be healthy, she has to continue menstruating until she's 90,
uh-oh,
she will make an unkind comment about my ancestry as she leaves the door.
Oh, boy.
Because most women, once they're done with their periods, they don't want to bring them back.
Right.
Some do. And if they do, we can do that.
Okay.
And it's actually probably better for them to have those more youthful levels. But for women who do not want to restart their periods, then our goal is to take them as close to that edge as we can without stepping over.
Okay.
So I want to give them all the benefits of more youthful hormone levels, but I don't want to take them so far that they become uncomfortable. Because after all, I'm working for them. And the whole goal is to give the patient what they need and desire. Because we're not working for the insurance company or the government. We're working for the individual patient. And
what a concept.
Yes, and they are our employer, and we need to give them what they desire.
Yes. And if you're like me, for years and years and years, you thought that, okay, the men's hormone is testosterone mm-hmm. and the women's is estrogen and progesterone, and that's it.
Yeah.
And that's not it.
No, that's not it. Not only do we measure 8 different hormones in every man and every woman, and all 8 of them are important, but things people often miss is that women actually have 2 to 2.5 times more testosterone than estrogen in their bloodstream. Wow. Testosterone is the primary sex hormone for men and women. And in fact, the decline in testosterone is probably going to turn out to be the big reason that women get breast cancer.
Mm.
Okay. What we found is that a woman who has never had any hormone intervention, okay, she's gone through life and has never been on birth control pills, has never been on estrogen, has never been on testosterone, has had no hormone interventions of any kind. Her risk of breast cancer is 300 cases per 100,000 woman years. In other words, 10,000 women over a 10-year period will give them 300 cases.
Okay.
If you give those women testosterone part of the time, you reduce that risk of breast cancer from 300 to 116 cases per 100,000 woman years.
Big difference.
So you cut it down by almost 2/3. But here's the really thing. If you give them their youthful testosterone load and you give it to them for the whole 10 years, you cut their risk from 300 to 50.
That's huge.
1/6.
Wow.
Okay.
So why wouldn't every woman want to to do this?
Well, and that's where I've kept my wife.
Yes, yes.
On her youthful testosterone load mm-hmm. since she was in her early 30s. I don't want her to get, I don't want her to get slow or fat or weak, and I don't want her brain to go, and I don't want her to get breast cancer,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want her bones to thin out. And maintaining a youthful testosterone load in women provides all those benefits.
I love that. Yeah. Now, I think when women hear, you want to give me testosterone, but I don't want to get big muscles. I don't want to grow hair all over. You know, those are the fears, the things
sure.
that we think.
But we aren't giving them male levels.
Ah.
You know, here's the thing people forget, or I wouldn't say forget, have never really known. We often joke about women being hormonal.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, it must be that time of the month.
That's right. She's hormonal again.
Oh,
that's
boy.
Good. No, the reality is we men are the hormonal ones. A healthy 20-year-old man runs a testosterone load somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,000 to 1,200 nanograms per deciliter.
Okay.
That healthy young woman, same age, runs about 75 to 80 nanograms per deciliter.
Big difference.
We're about 12 times higher than her. Our estrogen is about 30. Okay, hers is 35. The difference, though, is that we have 12 times more testosterone than she does. So, yes, if I raise her levels to a male level.
Well, then, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But if I keep her levels in a healthy young woman's level, no. She stays sleek and lean and strong and happy with hard, dense bones, firm body, bright brain, and a healthy libido.
Okay. Sounds good to me, right?
Yep.
We are Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon here, and we're taking your calls. Phone lines are open, 1-800-465-8770. We'll talk about whatever it is that you'd like to discuss. Right now, we're talking about hormones, and we will be right back in just a moment. Feel free to give us a call. Get in that queue.
Yes.
It's Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon in the studio answering your questions. I'm Lynette. Dr. Umat has the weekend off, not feeling well.
Yep.
Hope she'll get better.
Send her home.
Yep, it was like she came in and had that low, and it's like, mm-mm.
Nope. Go home, lady.
Yeah, go home. Plus, we don't want it. So, all right, Dr. Mixon, let's keep talking about those hormones and remind you that you can call in right now. We would love to talk with you about whatever's going on, a recent diagnosis, maybe something you don't understand that's going on with your body as it's aging. Now is the time to call. Be part of our show. We'd love to talk with you at 800-465-8770.
Yeah, when... Testosterone is kind of a fun hormone to talk about, obviously, with women.
Because yes.
Because it does so many fun things for them. You know, it does get rid of essentially all of those hot flashes and mood swings and sleep disorders and vaginal dryness and all the other stuff that goes with menopause. So it's amazing how much you can help women, you know, with what we have always considered the, quote, male hormone. But there is another hormone that both men and women make that I have used with great effect through the years in longevity medical clinic. And it's one we call oxytocin. Oxytocin is kind of a fun hormone in many ways. And and you'll see why I say it's a fun hormone here. It is, to some extent, our bonding, our love hormone. And it is a hormone that makes us attach emotionally to other people. And there's a lot of ways to trigger oxytocin usage. For instance, gazing into someone's eyes raises the oxytocin levels in your brain. And that is part of why young lovers, if you are in a new romantic relationship, you find yourself staring into each other's gaze. And looking into someone else's eyes for more than about 2 seconds triggers oxytocin release in your brain. Oxytocin helps you to bond and connect with that person emotionally. All of a sudden, you find that you trust them more. You're fonder of them. You have warmer, more connected feelings to them. And touch, skin to skin. Again, young lovers tend to caress and touch and hold each other. And skin-to-skin contact with another human being, whether it's the back of your hand against their cheek or their neck or rubbing their back or anywhere else you touch them, raises oxytocin levels. And again, you feel safer, happier, more connected to that human being. Traditionally in medicine, we have used oxytocin only in childbearing. It's kind of, I guess, interesting. What we've done with oxytocin in childbearing is if a woman is stalled in her labor and she's not able to get her contractions going good to push baby out, we put some oxytocin in an intravenous drip and run it into her veins, and that oxytocin causes her uterus to contract firmly, mm-hmm. and that starts the labor progressing and helps push baby out. Well, that's just the beginning of oxytocin in mothering, however, mm-hmm. because it turns out mothers stare at their babies a lot.
and grandmothers.
Yes. And that, again, that eye-to-eye contact triggers oxytocin mm-hmm. release and bonding in both mommy and grandma to that baby. Touching, holding, caressing, skin-to-skin contact, of course, it triggers oxytocin production. That's why holding that baby up against your body, keeping it warm and secure, makes the baby bond to you and you bond to the baby. But nipple stimulation releases oxytocin. And so in a new mother, if she's breastfeeding that baby, the baby is nursing at her breast, and every time that child suckles, it stimulates oxytocin release in mommy's brain. So she's staring at the baby's face while the baby is suckling at her breast. Every 2 hours, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, she's getting an oxytocin hit to bond her to that child. Okay, and it is a bond that will last forever.
Yes.
It does not matter what kind of, you know, vicious sociopath the kid turns out to be.
Yeah, you will love that
mother
baby.
Will love that sociopathic little monster anyway.
And baby gets you up every hour, every night.
You got
still going to love your baby.
You got it. We daddies don't have that.
Okay,
we'll turn them into the cops.
Yeah.
No, it's my baby.
That's right. But, we don't have that connection. Hmm. We get the connection, though, with mommy. And it turns out that sexual arousal triggers oxytocin. And so with a young couple, which is in that fervor of new sexual burst with each other, they're having sex far more often than they probably really should, and they're doing it even when they shouldn't. And every time they do, sexual arousal is triggering oxytocin. Orgasm triggers a big burst of oxytocin. Mm. And that's why in that new romance, this person becomes perfect. Oh. They have no flaws. They're an angel sent from heaven just for me. Heaven had little to do with it. It was the oxytocin and the frequent sex. That's what made you connect to them, okay? And as the relationship matures and the sexuality comes down to more, shall we say, less robust levels, oxytocin levels start to drop. Mm. And at some point, you recognize, wait a minute, they have a flaw. They're not perfect human beings after all.
They snore at night.
Yes. You know, or they squeeze the toothpaste from the wrong end.
They crunch things too loud.
That would have never bothered you before now suddenly start to bother you. And they're bothering you because you're having less sex.
Oh, right. Okay.
And as couples spend years and years and years together and their libidos are fading and their sexuality becomes an occasional rather than a constant activity, oxytocin levels drop.
Mm.
And eventually, couples often become roommates rather than lovers.
Okay.
They may love each other. They care about each other. They want good things for each other. But that passion long ago faded away. And with it, the oxytocin-based bond.
Mm. And some people might be okay with that.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, hello, well, this is a huge thing.
Well, it is. But one of the things we can do now is we can actually provide oxytocin as a nasal spray. So you can spray it up your nose, peer into each other's eyes, spritz your oxytocin, and suddenly you say, damn, you're hot. No, actually, it's not an aphrodisiac, but it is a bonding agent. We also can do it as a lozenge in your cheek, where you can simply stick it in your cheek and let it slowly dissolve, and you absorb the oxytocin through the mucous membrane. And
how long is that? Like a pretty immediate?
Yeah, it usually starts within 15 or 20 minutes, although the nasal spray, assuming you have a open cribriform plate, because some people have nasal polyps and stuff, and nasal spray does them no good.
Okay.
But assuming you've got open airways and you can actually get it into your brain, it's within a matter of seconds of the spray.
Okay.
And the lozenge usually takes 30 minutes or so. But you can raise those oxytocin levels again while the two of you are together and talking and sharing your day-to-day life and actually start rebuilding that emotional bond.
Mm.
And $100 worth of oxytocin, I think, works better than $10,000 worth of couples counseling.
Yeah, I think you're right. You Absolutely.
So we use it fairly frequently in our practice for couples that don't want to split up and so on, but they just don't have the closeness they once did. They kind of like to rebuild some of that bond. We can actually write the oxytocin for them, and they use it. Now, it's not an aphrodisiac. It doesn't bring back the sexuality, but it does help bring back the emotional closeness with that other human being, which I think is really of great value in and of itself. So, I mean, that's a hormone manipulation that many people have never heard of before.
Okay. Yeah,
really kind of a fun one.
Yes. I think several listeners right now are writing down oxytocin. That is O-X-Y.
T-O-C-I-N.
Yes, yeah. Oxytocin. All right. Hey, the phone lines are starting to wake up. Our callers are calling in. They got their coffee, and they are ready to talk with you, Dr.
Well,
Mixon.
Well, then let's chat with a few of them.
Okay. Hilmer, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Hilmer.
Good morning. The usual subject, rapamycin.
All right.
Rapamycin.
Okay. Well, I'm calling the expert on that stuff. So, you know, I did a timing issue. I take my 6 milligrams one day, and then I waited a week before I did a blood draw because I realized that it might increase your cholesterol or triglycerides, etc. Uh-huh. My question is, if you wait a week after you take your dose, uh-huh. are the effects of that dose, is it going to affect your blood work a week later?
It won't affect your blood work.
Is there a residual effect of that?
It won't affect your blood work, at least not with oxytocin levels. It may still have your some modest elevation in your sugar and cholesterol. So it's really kind of funny. You know, we aren't sure how oxytocin works precisely. Rapamycin works precisely. Yeah. I've got oxytocin on the brain. Sorry about that.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. But rapamycin, we think that one of the mechanisms of rapamycin is actually to alter the flora in your gut so that you change the way the bacteria in your gut are functioning, and those bacteria in your gut actually start kicking out different messenger RNAs that your rest of your body is absorbing. So rapamycin effect may have less to do with blood levels and more to do with your immune response and your bioflora in your bowel, which is kind of an interesting concept. For instance, rapamycin's effect on longevity doesn't have to be given on a continuous basis, at least in the experimental animals. Now, we know a lot more about rapamycin's effect in mice than we do in humans, okay? It's just because mice, we can give it to them at any point throughout their lifespan. And humans live so long, you know, that we're giving it to them for a very short segment of their lifespan, and then we aren't able to follow them for their whole life to see what the effects are. But we know that if we treat young mice with rapamycin, I mean, let me kind of give you some numbers. Mice live on average in the laboratory about 25 months total.
Really? Okay, just a couple years.
Just over two years. If we give rapamycin to 20-month-old mice, that is about the equivalent of 75 to 80-year-old humans, we can extend their lifespan by 15%.
Wow.
Even if we don't give it to them until quite late in life. But if we give it to mice in young adulthood, not in old mice, but in young adult mice, and we give it to them for, you know, 3 or 4 months, we also extend their lifespan all the way out.
Wow.
So wherever we do it in the lifespan of the mouse, we extend their lifespan. And so you don't have to be taking the rapamycin at the time you're getting old. We can give it to them when they're fairly young, and they still do better when they're old. We can give it to them when they're old, and they do better when they're old.
Okay, right. A win-win.
Yeah, we give it to them on a continuous basis. It works. We give it to them for short bursts. It works. Now, that tells us that whatever the mechanisms are, they are not just a matter of blood level at this moment. You don't have to have high blood levels all the way through.
Hmm.
You give it to your mice when they're young adults. You don't touch them again till they're old. They still live longer.
Wow. Okay.
All right. So, you know, the question is, what are we really doing with the rapamycin? We know some things it does. We know that it is a sirtuin-1 inhibitor. We know that in high doses, it is both a sirtuin-1 and a sirtuin-2 inhibitor. We don't want to suppress the immune response, so we try not to suppress SIRT2 for very long if we suppress it at all. It's mostly SIRT1 we're shooting for. But in the people we're giving 2 milligrams a day, every day, 7 days a week, for years at a time, that is people that have had organ transplants, okay, we are suppressing SIRT2 in them. And what we're finding is those people that are susceptible to cancers to start with get less cancer.
Mm.
There's something about the rapamycin, even at the 14 milligrams a week, that is suppressing their incidence of solid tumors of almost all kinds.
Wow.
So there are some things we know about rapamycin, but there's an enormous amount we don't know about rapamycin. Okay.
The reason why I asked about the, the what it did to it pumped up my triglycerides to like 80, which is pretty good. But
yeah.
I'm usually down in the 50s. It pumped up my cholesterol to about 156. I'm usually down in 135 or so.
Sure.
And my HDL was still higher than my LDL by a couple of points.
And I like that.
So, but I just, I've never, over all the years I've been doing blood testing, I've never seen, well, I'm usually pretty constant at those levels with my my lipids.
Sure.
And, but this, it changed a little, not that I'm alarmed over it, it was just kind of interesting.
Yeah. Well, and that's a fascinating thing because in the non-rapamycin world, people that are not on rapamycin, the higher the blood sugar, the shorter the time they live. You know, higher blood sugars correlate with more diabetes, more dementia, more cancer, more heart attacks, more, all the bad stuff comes with higher blood sugars, and yet not in the animals that are on rapamycin. It raises cholesterol, it raises blood sugar, but they don't get the bad effects of the high cholesterol, and they don't get the bad effects of the higher sugar. So once more, we don't know. We're still in the process of figuring out what we don't know about rapamycin. You know, so that's why I kind of smile when you called me the expert. God almighty, I'm not sure there is an expert on rapamycin on planet Earth. I mean, I read the literature constantly, and I am always appalled at how little we know. We use it because it does great things for every animal we've ever given it to. And it seems to help the human beings we're giving it to. We do, you know, improve their kidney function. We improve their brain function. They get less cancer. All kinds of good stuff are happening to the people that we give rapamycin to. But we don't really understand fully what is going on. And we don't really know what the right dose is. And we don't know how often it should be given. We're guessing. We're making educated guesses.
My filtration rate, my kidney filtration rate, it improved after I started taking rapamycin.
Yes, it makes your kidneys healthier. It makes your heart healthier. It makes your brain healthier. It makes your bones and your skin healthier. It makes human beings healthier. We just don't know how.
Wow.
One more question, because I'm baffled by this one, and that is pregnenolone, okay? I've been taking pregnenolone for years and years and years, but I'm also on progesterone. I don't know if it's related. You know, I'm doing the low-dose progesterone. So what happens is that I used to take 50 milligrams of pregnenolone, right? Then I said, well, you could probably take 100. So I went to 100. It made no difference whatsoever on my pregnenolone levels. In fact, I can't get my levels up. Why can't I get my levels up?
You're metabolizing it and turning it into other things. Mm. Pregnenolone is a pro-hormone. It has direct effects in your brain. It is an anti-anxiety. It decreases stress. It helps you to sleep. It mellows you out. All those are good things. But it also is converted to dehydroepiandrosterone, which is a activating hormone to make you more alert and active.
Oh, so that's why it's 404. That's about 406 on the DHEA. There you go.
That's right. You're turning your pregnenolone into dehydroepiandrosterone.
Oh.
And then the pregnenolone can be converted into progesterone or testosterone or estradiol or cortisol. And that's why in our clinic we tell people, don't just go take these hormones blindly. Let us measure the downstream effects, because things like pregnenolone can turn into half a dozen other hormones. And if you don't know what it's turning into and you don't know what the levels are, you can get yourself in trouble.
Mm.
And that's why we measure all of those downstream hormones.
Because if you...
Well, yeah, if your DHEA is up there over... Now, I accept a fine DHEA in a man up to about 500. I don't get excited about, you know, 5 or even 550. If you're up around 800, 900, you ought to probably get rid of some of it. All right. Okay. Women, I'm shooting from, you know, 200 to 300 most of the time. Men, I'm shooting 300 to 500. Okay.
Okay, well, something 400. Maybe I should just leave it alone then.
Yeah, 400 is a fine level for a man. It's a milder androgenic hormone than testosterone, but it is androgenic. It makes your muscles stronger. It makes your bones thicker. It makes your tendons and ligaments heal and repair more effectively. So DHEA is a, you know, is on balance a benefit.
Yeah.
All right?
Okay. Well, thank you so much for the conversation. Always informative. So thank you so much.
You're welcome, sir.
All right. Thank you so much. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. What would you like to talk about? A recent diagnosis? Hormones? Aging? Let's talk. 800-465-8770. Dr. Jerry Mixon here. And we have a listener from Seattle calling in. Okay, Good Space Guy is what. So do we call you Mr. Good Space Guy?
Or just Spacer?
Mr. Good.
Spaced out?
Yes. Hi there. Welcome to the show.
How can we help you, sir?
Well, I think to make it easy, we could use a nickname of Space Guy instead of Good Space Guy.
Just okay. Space
Guy. Or just you're a good guy.
Yes. Were you an astronaut?
No. Well, I'm an amateur astronomer.
Okay.
Space is important.
Yes, it is.
I want our people to get more involved in orbital space around our Earth and around our star, the Sun.
Oh, boy. Now, did you catch that beautiful aurora borealis that we had in May on the 10th?
Well, I find that because of our clouds over Seattle and our light pollution.
Yeah.
Yes, we have a lot of that.
Looking at the sky. So I look at Astronomy Magazine. So for good observing of the sky, I recommend Astronomy Magazine.
Okay.
Okay. All right. How can we help you today, sir? What's up?
Well, right now I've reached 85 years of age.
Good for you. Good start.
My goal is 200 years.
All right.
I only have 115 years left. But it seems like technically my goal of 200 years is not possible.
It's going to be tough.
We have to make a lot of advancements in our knowledge and our technology and science.
Yes, we do.
So I was thinking, well, the viruses are always hungry. The bacteria is always hungry. The parasites are always hungry. Should we be concentrating more on the parasites, defeating the parasites to promote longevity?
Well, you know, one of the really interesting areas of current research for longevity is the bowel flora. You know, most people don't realize. They think of us, the eukaryotic cells that make up the human body, as us. But you realize you've got more bacteria growing in your gut than the cells in the rest of your body put together. We are mostly bacteria.
Wow.
Which is really kind of fascinating. And those bacteria that are growing in our bowel are releasing exosomes and acellular vesicles that contain messenger RNA. And that messenger RNA from those bacteria that actually outnumber our human cells are being released into our bloodstream, traveling throughout our body, and we are taking up the messenger RNA from those bugs growing in our gut. And they have a profound impact on the diseases we get or the lack of diseases. People with particular patterns of bacteria growing in their gut have more or less susceptibility to a wide variety of cancers, or dementia, or osteoporosis, or heart disease, or strokes, or mood changes, depression, anxiety, can all be impacted by the bacteria that are growing in our gut and sending that messenger RNA from their cells into our cells. And it is a very active area of research right now trying to identify what are the bacterial patterns in people that have various diseases versus those that have robust, good health? And how can we try to alter the bacterial loads in those of us who have problems to fix it so we more closely emulate those who don't have problems? And will that indeed help? And we're finding out that, yes, indeed. By altering the bacterial load, we can impact the percentage of people that have depression or have anxiety or have obesity. Turns out obesity is impacted to a large extent by the mix of bugs in our bowel. So, yeah, this is an area that there's a whole lot of smart people looking at very closely right now. The trick is, once we identify a pattern, how do we alter what's in your gut?
So research is extremely important. We're sort of like a team.
Yes.
We and our bacteria are our team.
Yes, we certainly are.
On the same team.
We are. Well, we hope we're on the same team. But turns out we're not always, and that causes a fair bit of human disease when you've got the wrong team players in your gut.
Or if you wipe them out.
Yes.
With meds. Hey, Mr. Space Guy, would you stay tuned? And we will continue talking about this. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine. And here is that number. Call us and be part of the show today. We'd love to talk with you at 800-465-8770. And stay right there. We'll be back to talk about more bacteria.